Hello, welcome back. And in Hello, welcome back. Hello. Hello, welcome back. And in this session, we're going to talk about the difference between perception and reality. And I suppose the important thing to start with is to decide whether there is a difference between reality and perception. And it kind of assumes that there is something going on outside of our heads, that there is something out there that we're not living in the matrix, for instance, or this isn't a dream, this is actually a reality. So there is something that's going on outside, but how we perceive that world is very different for different people. And I'm sure you've been in a situation where people have had a completely different understanding of what it is you're trying to tell them than what you want to get across. Or people experience, they remember things very differently. So in this session, we're going to look at why that is, how it happens, and what the implications of that are. So what I'd like you to do is picture an elephant. So get a picture of an elephant in your mind. See the elephant, see what's around it, if there is anything. But just understand what it is that you see and be very clear about what it is that you see. And so the question I've got for you is, what does it look like? It may look a bit like this. It may look like this. It may be looking towards you. It may have tusks. It may be an African elephant, big ears. There may be some trees around it. Or it may look like this. It may be in the savannah with just one tree. It may be moving. It may be to one side. Or, it may be a picture of an elephant. It might be a picture of an Indian elephant in sort of ceremonial costume, if you can have a costume for an elephant. Or it may be this. It may be you remember being on holiday in somewhere in India where you rode on the back of an elephant as it was in a stream, or maybe it's the cuddly toy that my daughter won when she was 4 or 5 years old, or maybe it's Dumbo, or maybe it's a really cute kid in an elephant costume. The point is that we all have a different way of describing the word elephant and in terms of understanding what that word means to us. And if that's true about one word, what about a whole conversation? Because every time you say something to somebody, they're making pictures and sounds and ideas and thoughts and feelings in their head. So depending on what your elephant looked like, it will probably be different to somebody else's. And try that out. Ask some friends, ask some family to describe an elephant to you. So let's have a look at how this all works and what's actually going on to make that understanding of the word elephant different. So in this diagram, on the left-hand side, as you look at the screen, we have reality. And reality, we accept that there's 100% of information. So remember we said before, there's all this information that's bombarded and been bombarding us from the outside world. And we have the starting point of 100% of that information. So that information has to get into our brain. So how does it get into the brain? Well, it gets into the brain through the senses. And the problem with the senses is that although they're the only way we can interact with the world outside us, outside of our heads, we can only see, hear, touch, taste, or smell the world. There's no other way of interacting. We can't inject that information. We can't download it directly from the internet. So we can only use our senses. The problem is that our senses aren't actually that good. because we can't see infrared light, we can't see ultraviolet light. We can only hear certain frequencies of sound, which is why dog whistles work on dogs, but not on people. Or at least no one that I know. And the reason I say that and put that caveat in there is that I was running one of these courses once when at the end of it, somebody came up to me and said, I can. And I said, what? He said, I can see ultraviolet light. I said, no. He said, yeah, I can. He said, I've got an artificial lens in one eye and it doesn't filter UV light as well as the natural one. So this was back in the days when you used to have those little UV lights for checking banknotes. And he said they look really bright to him, even though most people it's just a very dull kind of purplish glow. And he said, in the gents in the Virgin Megastore in London, they have UV lights, because apparently you can't see your veins under UV light. So you can't, if you can't see your veins, you can't inject. So you can't inject drugs in the gents in the Virgin Megastore in London, which says something, but I'm not quite sure what it says. The important thing there to notice, though, is that everybody is different. We've all got different abilities in terms of sight and hearing and so on. And we always assume that people see the world the same way that we do. So the senses, although they're the only way, that you can interact with the world outside, they also filter a lot of that available information out. So we end up with only around 30% of the information that's out there actually getting into our brains. And as if that wasn't enough, the way that we think acts as a second filter on that information. So who influences how we think, or what influences how we think as we grow up? What kind of processes do we go through? What experiences do we have, and who do we interact with who influences the way we think? And you may come up with things like family, or friends, or the media, or culture, or your emotional and physical state. And there are other things like environment, religion, just your experience generally. So let's look at these in a little bit more detail then, because the first 7 years of your life are what psychologists call the imprinting stage. So most of your beliefs and values are formed by the time you're seven. And who do you spend most of your time with in the first 7 years of your life? Well, traditionally we would have said family, although that's changing because a lot of children are having childcare now. And so, as someone said to me recently, does that mean I've got to be really careful about who I choose for childcare? Do they have to have the same beliefs and values that I have? Well, yeah, but as we'll see in a later session, we tend to be attracted to people who think in the same way that we do. So if you go on your gut feel, you're probably going to be choosing the right people or the right person. Friends have an impact in the way that you think, and certainly as you get older and you get into that socialization phase of your psychological development, then friends have a big impact in the way that you think. Education, which isn't on the list, has an impact on the way that you think, and of course what you think. Media has a really big impact, and because media filter information before they show it to you, because they filter it for a very specific reason, because they're focusing on their particular demographic, their customer base. And just as an illustration of this, I've got here a photo of a couple of magazines on a newsstand. And on the left-hand side, you may remember when Michael Douglas was suffering from cancer. On the left-hand side in The People, you've got Michael Douglas cancer fight, I feel stronger every day as the headlines. And the magazine right next to it says, Michael Douglas prepares to die. He plans his own funeral. So depending on what paper you read or what magazine you read, what media outlets you look at, you can have a very different view of the world around you. And in that particular instance, it was a completely polarized view. So if we carry on and look at culture, and by culture I don't just mean ethnic culture but organizational culture. So the kind of organizations that you grow up with will have an effect on the way that you think about things like business, customers, management, work itself, and so on. Then the culture, the organizational culture you grow up with, will affect your beliefs and values as you move on through your career generally. And your emotional and physical state has an effect on the way that you think. So if you've ever felt ill, you probably feel like the world is kind of more enclosed. It's all internal rather than external. Or if you've ever been stressed, you probably find that some problems are bigger than when you're not stressed, harder to overcome. So a friend of ours was a teacher, and she left the teaching profession because of stress. And she said that when she was in her worst state emotionally, she couldn't determine the difference in importance between her daughter being arrested for shoplifting and somebody leaving a wet towel on the bathroom floor. So her perception was completely skewed by just what was going on emotionally and physically. So this information, this 30% that we've got left, comes in through our filters, and we filter it in certain ways. So what we do is... We filter information in three ways. So we delete some of it. So we don't even see that piece of information. So we delete information. If it doesn't fit our understanding of the world around us, then we just don't even notice it. And a classic example of that is the basketball players and the gorilla. If you've ever seen that video, and I'll put the URL at the bottom of this screen. If you've ever seen that video where So we delete information. And if you've ever seen the video of the basketball players and the gorilla, then you'll know what I mean. It's a classic example of, if it doesn't fit your understanding of the world, then you don't even notice it. So I'll put the URL, so you can just search for it on YouTube, but I'll put a YouTube URL at the bottom of the screen. And basically the original experiment set up a number of people to watch a basketball, or some people throwing a basketball around, and they were asked to count the number of times the basketball passed from one person to the next. And they showed the video, and at the end of the video, they said, what did you notice? And they were coming up with numbers like 15, 20, whatever it may, whatever the numbers were, in terms of the number of passes that they saw. And then the researcher asked, did you notice the gorilla? No, I didn't. So we delete information, and this is kind of anything that doesn't fit our understanding of the world. We kind of ignore it. We don't even notice that it's there. So we sort of don't take it in the first place, let alone think about it. And the classic example of this, if you've ever seen the video of the basketball players and the gorilla, then you'll understand what I mean. If you haven't seen it, then I suggest that you have a look. I'll put the URL at the bottom for of the YouTube, because you could just search for it on YouTube, but I'll put the URL there anyway. A slightly more worrying experiment was done with airline pilots, where they got a group of pilots to fly into the same airport on a simulator. And just before the plane landed, the computer made another plane appear on the runway. And every single pilot landed their plane on top of the other one. Now, in my mind, rule one of the airline pilot's guide should say, don't land your plane on another. It's kind of important. But in their world, which fortunately they say is the same as our world, a plane can't just appear on the runway. It can either drive onto the runway or it can fly onto the runway, but it can't just appear. So because it just appeared, their brains ignored it. They deleted it completely. And as you can imagine, that the airline pilots, before they understood this, were horrified. And, you know, most of them were saying, I'm going to give up flying because, you know, landing your plane on another one is kind of a real big no-no. So we delete information that doesn't fit our understanding of the world around us. We also distort information. So we distort the information that's coming from the world outside. And my kind of favorite example of this is what I call new car syndrome. So if you've ever bought a new car, well, not a new car, but just a car that's new to you, you've probably noticed that there are lots of cars exactly the same as the one you've just bought. And people haven't gone out and bought them. It's not some kind of elaborate hoax or elaborate joke. It's really the fact that you've started to notice those cars because it's important to you. So we tend to notice things outside that are important to us internally. And you've probably been in a situation at some point where, if you've ever had any kind of relationship problems, everything you watch on TV or read is about relationship problems. Or when my daughter was pregnant, she said that the whole world seemed pregnant. Now, it wasn't, because, you know, it would have been in the papers and the maternity wards would have been overflowing. But because it was important to her and it was the most important thing in her life at that point, then she saw lots, she noticed lots of pregnant people who had always been there, but it hadn't been important to them before. Just like in the last session, we were talking about being aware of the floor beneath your feet. If it's not important, you don't notice it. So we tend to distort the reality around us and make it more or less important. One of the things that you can do with this is you can use what I call the car park fairy. And if you've ever come across the car park fairy, you'll know what I mean. It's something that really helps you find a car parking space in a busy car park. So take the example of traveling into a supermarket, and you might be going to the supermarket thinking, I'm really busy, I don't have a lot of time, I really need to get what I need to buy, and I bet I can't park near the doors because I'm in a hurry. And sure enough, you find yourself being parked right over at the far side of the car park and having to walk all the way to the doors. And as on the way there, you probably notice that there are empty spaces and think, well, that's typical. You know, just as I arrive, everybody else goes. What's really happening is that there's lots of people driving into the supermarket with the same internal dialogue that you've got. And so they don't notice the spots that are nearer to the door. But if you can change that internal dialogue to driving in thinking, I'm really busy, I've got a lot to do, so I bet I can find somewhere near the doors because that's going to be really helpful. It's amazing how often you can do. And if you don't believe you can change reality in that way, ask the car park fairy. So car park fairy, find me a space near the door. It's amazing how often she helps. Try it out. You don't have to believe me, just try it out. It does work. And so somebody on a course a little while ago said, oh, well, I'm going to invent the finding money on the floor fairy. And off she went. And the following month, she came back. And we said, how'd you get on with the finding money on the floor fairy? She said, well, I found £4.32 in pennies and 2p's and 10 pences. So it's all about changing your perception and the way that you look at the world around you, because we do naturally distort it depending on what's important to us. So the third thing we do is we generalize. We make generalizations of the world around us. And generalizations are a good thing, because if you didn't kind of assume, for example, that every time you walked through a door, the floor was going to be solid on the other side, it'd take you a long time to get around your house. And if you didn't assume that when the alarm goes off in the morning, it means get up, then you'd still be in bed. You'd have to work everything out from first principles and you never get out of bed. So generalizations are a good thing. They help us get through the day. They help us get an understanding of people's language and the conversations that we have. The problem is that generalization is a continuum where you've got really helpful things at one end and really unhelpful generalizations at the other end. So what do you think might be unhelpful generalizations? The classic kind of unhelpful generalizations are things like ageism, sexism, religious intolerance, racism. So they're all around the idea that everybody is, you know, all Scousers are thieves, old people can't learn new things, all Muslims are terrorists. Those kind of horrific generalizations that people do make. And we all make generalizations, maybe not as extreme as that, but they do limit the way that we think about the world around us. So when that information comes in, and we start with that 100%, and then the senses take 70% of that out and we're left with 30%. And then the way that we think filters that information again, and we delete, we distort, and we generalize, then what we're left with is a tiny amount of available information. So we base our perception of the world, our map of the world, as we say in NLP, on a small amount of reality, a small amount of information. And there's a couple of things that are really, really important about this. First of all, my 3% is different than your 3%. My perception of the world is different because we've got different backgrounds, different experience, different family, different education, with different culture and so on and so on. We do read different papers. And the danger is that as communicators, what we try and do is grab people and drag them into our world, to see the world through our eyes, because let's face it, you know, our perception, and this is the other important bit, is actually our reality. So the way that we see the world around us is the way the world is to us. So we try and drag people into our world to see the world through our eyes. And what we really need to do is to step out of our world and into the other person's world, the person we're trying to influence, the person we're talking to. See the world through their eyes, because it's only when we see the world through their eyes can we actually be able to communicate really effectively. So they're the two key bits of understanding. And if the only thing you really get from this session is that people really see the world differently and believe that people see the world differently, then that's going to be really, really helpful. So in the next session, we're going to take this a step further, and we're going to look at how perception affects beliefs and values and how that affects our behavior and the results that we've got, and on a kind of top level about how we can affect change at that kind of unconscious level as well. So again, I look forward to seeing you next time.